Okay, pleasing God, the guiding light to God's plan to prosper you. So we want to talk about pleasing God. Now listen, it was just Valentine's Day. I didn't even think about that till this time that we sang. And it was a time to express love, is a time to think of how can I please the person that I love, right? We think of creative ways. And pleasing God is something that flows out of our hearts, out of a love relationship with God. When we spend time in the presence of God, when we set time aside and we just talk to God and we sing to Him and we read our word, this desire, when as God's Spirit fills you up, the desire will rise in your heart just the same as, oh God, here I am. I want to please you with everything I say and everything I do. Now listen, there are many ways to live your life. You have figured this out, right? All of us have lived long enough to know that there are many ways in which you can choose to live your life. But listen, there's only one way that is successful. There's really only one way that has really depth and really value and eternal value, and that is to live a life pleasing to God. That is when value comes to your life. God has a plan. He has the blueprint from your life for your life. Can you imagine if somebody would say to you, send you an email and say to you, I have a copy of the blueprint of the rest of your life. Would you pay some money for that? Don't, okay? Just hypothetical. I mean, it is something that would interest all of us, right? To know what is the plan for our life. There is nobody that can give that to us. There is nobody that has the blueprint for your life and my life but God. And God doesn't always tell us ahead of time because that would not be a walk of faith. But we know that God has the plan for your life. He has the plan for my life. So what is that plan? Let's read again a familiar scripture. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. We're going to start off with this scripture. We're going to see what the Word of God says here. For I know the thoughts I think towards you. This is God speaking. I know the thoughts I think toward you. God has some thoughts in His mind that He is thinking towards you as an individual. In particular, says the Lord. What are these thoughts, God? What are you thinking of me? Wouldn't you like to know? He says, thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace. He wants you to walk in peace. Peace means not the absence of troubles and trials and tribulations. Okay? Peace means a supernatural peace that passes all understanding, that you cannot explain, that even when times are tough and things don't go well in your life according to your standards, something comes over you that helps you to handle it, helps you to stay level. Okay? This is what the peace is. And plans for peace and not of evil. Ay, ay, ay. Why, when some things go wrong in our lives, we so easily say, oh, why did God do that? Why did God make that one sick? God, like Pastor Debbie says, God doesn't break your bones to teach you something. Okay? Here it's the word on this. He says it's not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. What does it mean to give you a future? God is thinking about you. Thoughts of giving you peace, of giving you a future. This means a future worth living. A future that has blessing. Not a future of evil. Not a future to curse you. But a future to bless you. And God has that, the word says. And of hope. When you run out of hope, you really have no more reason to live. The human person, you will have not been fashioned to live without hope. When all hope leaves you, it leaves you empty. There is no future. There is no hope, a picture of what is waiting for you that is good in your future. And there is no peace. It's just total emptiness. And actually, you know, total emptiness or voids don't really exist, because where there's a void, something is going to fill it. If there is a void for hope in your life, there's no hope. It's not going to just be empty. It's going to be filled with something that's not hope. Have you noticed that? Right? Have you ever tried to eat less or to diet? Those of you said you had a New Year's resolution that you wanted to lose weight. If you take food out of your life and it's something that was very important to you and you don't replace it with something else, you're just going to go back to the food. Have you noticed that? When you take something away that is not good for you, God wants to fill that. On the other hand, if there's a void of God in your life, evil is going to fill it. I mean, not just evil, but your own fleshly desires who do not follow God. So the word of God says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Now, this is a picture of a life lived with purpose and with meaning. And when I look at that, when I look at the scriptures, I looked at some individuals in the Bible who walked out the plan of God in their lives, like the scripture says, who had lives resembling this. And I see here people who have given up everything and did everything in their strength and with the help of God to please God. There's a great example. We want to use the first example in the Word of God. And you would know, who's the greatest example of the greatest battle ever won, the greatest purpose ever lived for on this planet, who brought the hope and who brought the future and who brought the peace, is Jesus Christ, right? So let's look at Jesus Christ. Here's our example. He had a mission and he had a purpose. Mark 1:11 says, when then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That is always a fascinating scripture to me. That the God of the universe, the creator of everything, speaks audibly when Jesus came out of the water after he's been baptized and at other times. And he says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus pleased God, right? Do you think it's possible for us to please God? What comes up in your heart when I tell you it is biblical and it is God's desire that you also please God? Do you think it's possible for a human person to please a living and mighty God? If God's word tells us to do that, obviously, God is not playing tricks on us. When God's word tells us that, there is a way, and that is what we want to look at today. The way in which we can please God, because that would be the guiding principle or the guiding light towards this plan and this future that God has for us. Because remember, he has the blueprint of our life. Listen, it's not hard. It is really, honestly, not rocket science. Okay? It is possible for each and every one of us, when we know the will of God, to do it because God empowers us. Okay. Are some of you, when you hear about pleasing this Almighty God, tell me honestly, are some of you a little afraid? Are you a little not so sure? Because you may think, I don't know if I can put my heart on the line like this. Maybe people have disappointed you. You know, the thought of a father and a son may not be, or a father and a daughter may not be such a pleasant thought to you. You may have gotten hurt. There may be some brokenness. There may be some past experiences that would keep you away from fully going out there and pleasing God. And I am telling you today, right here, is the day that God wants to set you free. He doesn't need another day. He doesn't need another week. He doesn't need another year of your life. God is powerful and present today. All it takes from you is to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to please you with all of my life, with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my soul, because you love him. So The message to God, from God for us today is, why are you holding back? Why are you afraid? Why are you not coming to me, says the Lord, just with everything, just with your whole heart? Why? If God is the one that has the plan, that has the peace, that has the purpose, that has the future, and that has the hope. He does. He's a good God. He is truly not thinking evil thoughts towards you, but he wants to comfort you. He wants to please you. Listen to what the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. What does that mean, abound more and more? It really means grow. You sitting here, you're saying, I've served God a long time. It doesn't matter where you're at. Whatever place you are spiritually, God's word is God's will, and he says it's time for more. More and more, glory to glory, closer and closer to God. And this is his invitation to you. Abound more and more, no matter where you are, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God. So you've pleased God, but the invitation today is God in all his love saying to you, more and more. Basically, God is saying, I have more. I have more. So just release your life to me. Release your heart to me. Trust me. Go for me all the way. Go with me all the way. And there will be growth and there will be blessings coming. Colossians 1:10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. This is the word of God says that you can please him. Being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, so we're going to touch three little pieces today. We're going to make it really short because we're going to change the format of the body of the message. This is what we're going to do today. We have three parts in this message about pleasing God. First of all, we're going to look at some truths about pleasing God. And secondly, we're going to look at the life of Jesus and find some examples out of the life of Jesus that speaks to us. The way that Jesus was the first fruit, making the way that we should follow in it. And then we're going to close with how to walk it out. Okay? So after each one of these segments, we're going to dismiss you to your tables for some table discussion. I'm going to give you a certain time to do some table discussion, and then I'll call you all back. We'll do the next session, have some table discussion. How about that? Are you up for that? And we give it a shot, and maybe this way we can just focus in on one piece at a time. So let us look at truths about pleasing God. Listen, you are the daughter of God, and he is your father. When God spoke to Jesus, he's the father, he spoke to the son, okay? So the first thing about pleasing God is that there is a relationship. That there is a relationship. God is your father and you are his daughter. If you have questions about what that means, we cannot go beyond this point. I just want to stop briefly right here. What this really means is that as you're sitting here at these tables, you know that you know that you know that should your life end today, you're going to open your eyes in the presence of God. If you do not have that assurance, that you feel far away, that you feel outside of the household, you don't feel like a... Listen, it's not about feelings, but you know you are not a daughter and he's not really your father because you really do not have a relationship. We want to pray for you. Why not right now? Okay, so we are all girlfriends together here. If there's anybody here that's sitting at a table anywhere and you're saying, my, oh my, this sounds all nice and dandy, father, son, father, daughter, but I don't know, I'm not at the place where I'm right with God. Why don't you put up your hand right now? And we're going to stop right where you are, and we're going to pray. We want to make sure all these things we're talking about, all these benefits of a father and daughter relationship and about pleasing God is open for everybody. We cannot go on if there's somebody sitting here saying that you are not sure, and we do not want to put you on the spot. But we love you and want to help you to just meet God in a way that He's your Father and your restorer. Is there anybody like this? You can put up your hand. Anybody? That's so brave of you, sweetie. So brave of you. Thank you. That's awesome. Someone else and someone else over here. Anybody else? Anybody else over there? Over there. God loves you. This is your day. This is your day that God says, I want to make sure today, by the time you walk out of this room, that you know you have a Father in heaven with a blueprint for your life and you are His daughter. The Bible also says that we have to be born again. Okay? So this is what happens. Your spirit, when you are not connected spirit to spirit with God, your spirit is really disconnected from God. It's like it's dormant. That is why it's separated from God. But when you accept Jesus Christ and you confess Him in front of people like you did today, and you pray with us and you mean what you pray with this prayer, God resurrects your spirit, and spiritually you are born again, because it is your spirit that connects with the Spirit of God that confirms to you that you're a daughter of the King. So we're going to do that. The Bible says if you confess me before men or women, I will confess you, Jesus said, before the Father. So would you like to just make sure that you do that and just stand right where you are? You don't have to move. Just stand up right where you are. And we're going to love on you and we're going to pray with you. This is still an opportunity. This is a golden opportunity. Don't let this slip by. Just stand up and pray with us. Okay, the Bible says if you confess God before man, He will confess you before the Father. We love you. We don't want you to leave. We don't want you to leave not knowing that you are sure, that you are sure, that you want to give God all your heart and all your life. You know that, right? That's what God wants. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He wants everything. He wants all your heart and He wants all your life. Because Jesus died for you and for me. All of us sitting down, those of us sitting down, we have all gone through this. We all come from a place we were not connected to God. We were not children of God. And there was a day in all of our lives that we made a stand. So don't forget today, write down this date. The enemy comes to you and your mind tells you, it's a bunch of baloney. This is not what it is. This is real. God is in this place and He's ready to accept you. So we're all going to pray together. We ask you to follow, and everybody's going to pray. Okay, pray out loud. Follow me, and we are just going to make sure that you know that you are a daughter of the King. Okay, let's pray. Just follow me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus Christ. I believe you sent your Son to die for me. Father, I need you. So I am here to present you my life. God, I want to give you all my heart. God, I want to give you all my life. And I want to serve you for the rest of my life. So Father, forgive me of all my sin. Wash me with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know I am cleansed. And I am now a new creation. All things have become new because you are living inside of me. I'm turning my back on hell and I'm going towards heaven. My eternity is sealed in your presence. Holy Spirit, make your home in my heart. Make your home in my life. And I give it all to you. And I thank you for redeeming me, for cleansing me, for washing me, for making me whole. And that I can now say, that I am a daughter of the King Almighty, the God of all gods, and the Lord of all lords. So I thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! You may sit down. You may sit down. Wow. This is such a miracle. And we don't always do this, you know, but you know, we just have to follow the Holy Spirit and what He's doing. Truths about pleasing God. You're a daughter. You have a relationship. You're in a love relationship. God wants to set you free from pleasing other people. Do you know it's not God's will that you always should be pleasing other people? Some people you do, biblically. That's a lesson for another time. But you cannot live your life pleasing other people in an ungodly way. Okay, and know that you know that you know that you can please God. So when is it hardest for you to follow God? Anybody? When you're tired. Physically tired. Angry. Oh, who gets angry, right? Yeah. Anything else? Frustrated, irritated. Anything else? Say again. Oh, when you're grieving and go through pain. When you're hungry. All right. Wow, that's a powerful force. Thank you for your honesty. Yeah, if you say you don't have trouble pleasing God, how about fasting for a day? Oh, what? Well, yeah, if you want to check how strong your flesh is, take food away from it for a day. And okay, if you don't have trouble with that one, you are truly blessed. You are truly blessed. It's some power that takes over, right? You get hungry. Oh, Pastor Jess, are you still like that when you're pregnant? It's like Pastor Jess, when she's hungry, just don't even bother with anything else. Just get her something to eat. Oh, Pastor Jess looks a little bit stressed or a little bit not. Oh, we all know what it is. She just needs something to eat. Just get her a snack. Boy, and God wants you to control your appetite. Because guess what? If you eat more than you should, it's not good for your body. Should we just leave it there, right? Not good for your body. So your body is temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to live like as long as you can. So, all right, let's look at the example of Jesus. We're going to take a while. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to take a couple minutes and look at Jesus's example. Jesus is a great example. Now, you can say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. Why do we use him as an example? Because I'm just a person. I'm not God. And how can I look at Jesus? I just disappear when I compare myself to Jesus. You don't have to compare yourself to Jesus. But we look at Jesus Christ and we look at the example he set for us in obedience to the Father and why he came. There are so many things in the life of Jesus where Christ came, went through those things to make a way for you and I also to do those things. Because there are many things in this life that you would never be able to do by yourself. Those of you who just gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. There are some things that will still be hard for you. There are some things that no matter how hard you try, you can do. Because if you want to lose weight, since we're talking about that, you have tried everything. Part of the answer, I believe, is when you, the food that you move away from your body, what comes instead of it? You know, what do you fill it with? Just remember, as you grow in Christ, you're going to come in times that you're going to be challenged with a situation that you feel completely powerless. That you think, oh, I've had a great Christian walk so far. Why is this thing so hard for me? For you to realize you have no power in your own self to go through it. But the difference is Jesus came to earth. He became a man. He was tempted just like us. He didn't sin. He took all the sin upon him on the cross. He shed his blood so that when we accept him, now he lives inside of us. And because he walked that way, we can now walk that way in the power of God through Jesus Christ. It's like a miracle, okay? It doesn't even make sense. But it's not about the mind. It is about the spirit. When Christ lives inside of you, how does he live inside of you? How does he get bigger in you? The only way is the more you surrender, the less you become. Something has to give. Something has to go so God can become more. And as he becomes more and bigger in your life, he empowers you that you go through a situation and look back and say, that car just cut me off and I just didn't get mad. You will say, wow, that's interesting. Or you are able to, when the desserts come, say, no, thank you. And say, well, I was actually able to do that. There are some things, or the things that you say, maybe you say certain things out of control when you get angry. And God wants to live through and inside of you so that when those situations come, you can actually hold your mouth. Not because you can, but you just are enabled when Christ lives inside of you. And even if you're a Christian, you can be carnal. The Bible talks about carnal Christians. You can be a Christian. You can give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and still live in the flesh. But then you will have limitations. And this is the message today. God says he wants to become more and more and more. He wants you to grow. He wants you to get tight. He wants you to get deeper and deeper in this love relationship because he loves you. He's got the blueprint for your life and he wants to see you fulfill the goodness that he has planned for you. How would you? You don't want to miss anything good that God has for you, right? There is a way, and this is the way. It is to please God. Please God, number one, please God, Jesus. Please God, no matter what the cost. Philippians 2, verse 5. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Yet the Bible says, think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Isn't that pretty cool? He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. What did I tell you? What is the way to get more of God in you? It's for you to get less. Humbling. He didn't claim special privileges. This is not the American way. Hi, you know, we deserve it. The three of the most dangerous words for your life is I deserve it. I can tell you 99% of the time when those words come to your mind, when you're in a situation and say, I don't deserve this. Watch it. It's like a red flag. That's not God. And you tell your girlfriends that too, right? Stop telling them you don't deserve this. Stop going into pity, but get to the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. It's not like, I don't deserve this, poor me, you know. It's like, oh, please get over it and just trust God. Just trust him. Jesus didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Does God want you to go to the cross and literally die? What does it mean? No, he doesn't want to hurt you. But, yeah, because he already died. But you have to die. Something in you has to die, and what it is the flesh. Your own fleshly desires. I want things my way. I'm used to have it like this. If things don't go my way, I'm not happy. When mama's not happy, nobody's happy. You make the world miserable around you. You have the power in your little head and body to do all of that, to make life miserable for many people. Okay, so just be careful, become less. It's going to take sacrifice. Like it did Jesus, there is no way you get to the plan of God without effort. You don't just sit around and just God comes down and just does everything for you. Remember, you have to put in the natural for God to do the supernatural. It's going to cost you something. There's a story in the Bible about David. David sinned. He did something wrong. And because he sinned, the people suffered and people died. It's a long story that the Bible talks about David. And then David had to make an offering unto God to stop the angel that was destroying the people. So he needed to get an area where he could make that offering. So he came to a threshing floor where the angel was with a sword in his hand and said, do an offering right here. And the person who owned that piece of property was so petrified probably or whatever. He just told David, just take it. Take it. Because David came to him and said to him, can I purchase this piece of property because I want to offer on this? And the man said to him, no, just take it and tell me what else you want. I'll give you the offering place. I'll give you the threshing floor. I'll give you everything you need for the offering. And David turned around and he said, far be it from me to give God anything that cost me nothing. Although Jesus died for you and Jesus died for me, you still reap what you sow. Why would we have the power of God living inside of us if we didn't need it? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross if we didn't need it? We need it. We need it. And there is something that we have to be ready to sacrifice. There's no two ways about it. To get to a place in life, God place and a God way and a God path and a God destiny in your life, you're going to have to lose some things in your life. And you know what? So be it. What you gain is so much greater. Look at Jesus. What did he gain? He finished the job. He said, it is finished. He purchased salvation for all of us on the cross. Okay, and in David's story also, it stopped the angel of death. We don't have time to go there. So sacrifice keep our heart in place. You may say, why? If God is a loving God, why does he want me to sacrifice? Why does he want me to hurt? Can you answer that? Why? Do you think God wants you to sacrifice because he wants to hurt you? The only thing that hurts is your flesh. And your flesh is carnal. Your flesh cannot even please God. So it doesn't help if you get emotional or you get angry or any of that. Because those are things that God wants to cut off and cut out of your life. So that you can walk in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit can manifest in your life. Okay, God doesn't want to hurt you, but sacrifice keeps your flesh in check. And it keeps your heart in the right place. Otherwise, you will go far from God if it costs you nothing. You know how you treat stuff that costs you nothing? Like it costs nothing. It costs something. It costs something to follow God. But the result is you will reap what you sow. It is life. When you sacrifice for God, like with David, with that sacrifice, when he sacrificed, the destruction stopped. Pleased God, okay? So number two, please God, not people. When I think of the life of Jesus with this point, I immediately think about this scripture. Matthew 16:23 says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not. Look at this. Mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. When Peter said to him, Jesus said that he had to die and he's going to die and he's going to be resurrected. And Peter pulled him aside and Peter said, this will never happen. We will not allow this to happen to you. We cannot allow you to say you're going to die. No. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He was not considering anything at that point except his mission and except what he knew what he had to do. So what gets in our way? Many times we sit in a place like this, we get under conviction of the Holy Spirit, we decide with God's help to do things, we get outside and the first obstacle we hit, we give up. When people say, nah, it cannot be like that. God doesn't expect that of you. Don't be so serious about it, or your family teases you, or your friends push you aside. You know, it happens. And then the tendency is to please people. And the more you please people, the more you're going to please people. It's something that kind of grows. And before you know it, you're going to live a life that other people decided for you to live. That's a miserable way to live, to be manipulated by other people. When God has said something, that settles it, like Jesus did. The Bible says, look at Jesus for your own life. He was going to fulfill his mission. He had a vision. He had a plan for his life. And he was going to stick to it no matter what people had said. Okay? How do you act under pressure? That's a good one. How do you act under pressure? It's nice and dandy when you sit here with a girlfriend and everything is great. You know? And pressure comes and it's like, how do you act under pressure? Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. There are some things you cannot say, I'm not going to please my husband anymore. Okay? Bible says you have to. Bible talks about husbands pleasing wives and wives pleasing husbands, children pleasing parents, pleasing employees. There is a godly way to please people. But when people manipulate you out of the plan of God for your life, and you need the Spirit of God in you to even know when that happens. Otherwise, you'll be like a blind person walking into who knows where, not into your destiny. Numbers 23, verse 27, there's a story of Balak. Balak, is that how you say it? I'll just say it how I say it, okay? It's the king, and then Balaam. And this king is a long story, but real short. Balaam was asked by the king to curse certain people, okay? His enemies. And he heard from God. He went to God. Balaam went to God and God said, this is what you say. And when he spoke, it was not cursing. He did not do what the king expected him to do. So three different times the king said, it's funny when you read it. He said, now come over here. Let's see if God would want you to do what I want you to do over here. And then he didn't do what the king wanted to do. He said, well, come over here. Maybe we go on this side of the mountain. And he actually says to them, see if you can please God. It really pleased me, but he used the words. He says, maybe it pleases God when you go over this side of the mountain and you do what I want you to do. And here is, then Balak said to Balaam, please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. I mean, here was the king. It's a man with authority, but God has to come first. Whatever that is in your life, you have to put God first. When God has spoken, see, Balaam asked God, what should I do? God said what he should do, and he stuck with it even when the king asked him otherwise. He stuck with it. So when God speaks, remember, you please God, not people. Why? People do not have the blueprint for your life. God has the blueprint for your life. And when you please God and follow him, he will take you in the path that is his will, to give you peace, to prosper you, to give you a future, and to give you a hope. And that's the way to get there, okay? And also, you will not hear from God if you don't do what he tells you to do. If God tells you, if you say, God, speak to me, God, tell me, God, tell me, God, tell me. And then you get the drop in your heart or you read scripture, you think, oh, I think this is what God wants me to do. And then you don't do it. Next time you come, oh, God, tell me, what do you want me to do? And it's like, go back and do the last thing that God told you to do. So if you're sitting here saying, God's not speaking to me, I can't hear him, I pray and he's not listening to me. Maybe because you haven't done the last thing he told you to do. So go into his presence, ask him, and just obey him. As long as you are obedient, he will speak to you. As long as you walk in obedience. Okay, please God, not people. Last one. Please God in your darkest hour. Jesus, John 12, 27, 28. Now my soul is troubled, he says. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. This is powerful, guys. This is when Jesus knew, and he was talking about he's going to go to the cross. He prayed to God, Jesus, and he says, Father, should I ask you to save me from this hour? It's almost a rhetorical question, because then he answers it. He says, but for this purpose I came. So he said, okay, I can ask you to cop out in my darkest hour. But he says, Father, instead, glorify your name. And here God spoke in an audible voice. Go read the scripture. God spoke in an audible voice. He says, then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus said he had to go to the cross, shall I ask God to release me from this? He says, no. This is a dark hour, but this is why I came. And I believe God is with me. And then he says to God, Father, glorify your name. And this is such a beautiful answer. In a transitional time, in a change of seasons, that God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this new life. Don't be afraid of this new season. I have glorified my name in your life, and I will glorify it again. Any kind of darkness in your life doesn't take God out of the picture. What God has done, he will do again. What he's done for others, he will do for you. So how do you handle dark circumstances? Listen, 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, but with most of them, these were the people in the desert, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. This was in the desert. Listen, in your darkest hour, don't give up. The Bible says the end of a matter is, do you know what it says? Better than the beginning. Do you know the scripture that says that? The Bible says, with God, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. So now it doesn't matter where you're at. With God in this situation, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. So don't give up. Jesus walked through the darkness and he purchased redemption, okay? God will never leave you nor forsake you. And nothing shall separate you from the love of God. So no matter how dark it gets, even Job, when he was sitting in sackcloth and ashes, he had lost everything. Job gets to a point and he says, he really wants to die. He asks God to just kill him, take him out. And he says, but if it pleases you. Isn't that amazing? He didn't take his life into his own hands. He was so dark and so depressed and so broken and so lost. And he says, I wish God you would just kill me if it pleases you. Wow. And you know, with Job, God restored to him multiple times afterwards. If there is something as you're sitting here on your heart that you need courage for, to obey God, do you want to put up your hand? First step of faith, because I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. There is something in your life. There is something in your life. Some action that God wants you to take. That you don't think that you are strong enough. But you know you have to do this thing to obey God. Okay? Or if there's any area of pain in your life that you haven't heard from God about. Okay? Maybe it's pain of some sort that is holding you back from really, truly pleasing God. Let's just take a moment. Just think about, just close your eyes and think about that thing. This is really something the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, that he wants you to please God in and for you to reap the reward. Is this really God? Then he's going to help you. Thank you, God. Father, as these girls are now putting up their hands, Lord, we believe you're here. We believe in the power of your Holy Spirit. God, if there's any healing that needs to take place, if anybody is afraid, if anybody's been hurt, if anybody's been disappointed in any way, oh, Holy Spirit, heal in the name of Jesus. Just bring healing right now, God, in the name of Jesus. You're the miracle-working Father. So just thank you, God, for miracles. Just touch everyone, Father. And some of us have our hands up because we need courage. We need courage for this next step. We need strength. We need endurance. We need strength to say no to the flesh in some way or the other. So give us strategy, God. Give courage right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we are breaking through. We are breaking through in the name of Jesus. No plan from the enemy, no flesh, no lies from Satan will hold you back any longer in the name of Jesus. You are a daughter of the King. You are related to the Father, and He wants to take care of you. So, Father, we give it to you right now. And we already thank you for the victory. We can see the victory because you says you have a future and you have a hope for us. And our victory is that which we hope for. We can see it happening, Father. And we're going to walk it out in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. So just thank the Lord for it. Listen, every time we have girlfriends or we come to church and we listen to the Word of God, it is not to have a devotion that makes you feel good so that you can walk out of here. Are you tired of deciding I want to do something and not having the strength to do it? No, I have to do something, wimping out. Say today I'm going to do it, tomorrow, I don't know. And the next day you beat yourself up over it. Aren't you tired of that? Yes, yes. And it is only through the power of God in you that you can break through. And again, it comes the less you get. You have to become less and say, Lord, it's not about me getting my way anymore, but I'm just going to trust you. We discussed at the table, sometimes you can see what God wants to do through that action. But sometimes God asks you to take a step in faith just because God said so. And if God said so, it will be in agreement with the Word of God. Don't come tell me God said so that you can hang around with that married man. God's not going to say something like that. God told me, God showed me. It better line up with the Word of God, otherwise it's not God, okay? So just make sure that it lines up with the Word of God, and if God had told you to do something and you know that you know it's in line with the Word of God, and somehow there's a blessing and you don't even know how it's going to work out, you need to take that step because that's called faith. When you step out and do it without knowing always the result. Okay, 3 points. I'm going to just read you the scriptures and then you're going to discuss this. Walk it out. 3 ways to walk it out. Walk in the Spirit, walk properly, and walk in faith. What does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. Romans 8, 8 and 9. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. What he says, if your life has been given, if you got saved, if you have Christ living in you, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you just have to let him empower you to do and obey God's word. Romans 8, 5 and 6. This is a good one. For those who live according to the flesh, listen to this, set their minds on the things of the flesh. What does that mean? Set your mind on the things of the flesh. You get on the phone and talk to your girlfriend and tell her all the details of this horrible thing that happened to you. Flesh. You feed the flesh on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, that is fleshly minded, is that up there? Is death. Listen, guys, to think the things of the flesh is going to bring death in your life. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the benefit of walking in the Spirit. Holy Spirit class, watch the bulletin. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in you if you're saved, okay? But if God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and if you do not know what that is, watch the bulletin for the next class on the Holy Spirit and go to that class and make sure you get everything God has for you. All right? Secondly, walk properly. What is properly? This is the coolest thing. Properly, walk properly means walk worthy of the call. So walk is your life. How you live out your life, do it properly. Okay? because other people are looking. And the Bible goes as far as to say, you have to live a life that people can see God in you, not just for the believers. The Bible actually says it's for those outside of the faith. How cool is that? Listen to this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, my dear friends, since you belong to the Lord Jesus, we beg and urge you to live as we taught you to walk. Then you will please God. And this other scripture says, verse 12 of the fourth chapter, then you will be respected by people who are not followers of the Lord. How amazing is that? That you as a believer, when your life shows the truths of Jesus Christ, even unbelievers will respect you for that. That's awesome. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's pretty cool. I want that. Okay, third point, walk in faith. We've had amazing messages of faith. If you have missed the messages of faith, you have to go online, listen for free, or buy the CDs. Pastor Debbie is busy with a series on faith. Listen, we have talked about that scripture a lot. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. This word, please God, in this scripture has a different meaning from the other words in the Bible. It actually means a further degree of it, well-pleasing, like over-pleasing God when you walk in faith. Okay, so that's a sure way to please God, to walk in the Spirit, to walk properly, and to walk in faith. Galatians 2:16 says, but we know that God accepts only those who have faith in Jesus Christ. No one can please God by simply obeying rules and regulations, but you have to have the faith. All right?